is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cross.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I told you people that there are three levels of revelation as he borders on the matter of life. Anywhere you see eternal life, it is better now. For the purpose of clarity, you can go through the scriptures many times. And in several places where you see the word life, it might not mean all the same thing. And while you were teaching us yesterday, you made a profound point by distinguishing for us at least four kinds of life as is identified in the scripture. There is the life that you will see in the scripture, it will be bios. There is the one you will see, it will be suche. There is the one you will see, which is the one that there is the one you will see, it will be an order of life. The one we are talking about is the God kind of life. Amen?
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 Amen.
Okay, we are trying to get into the picture of the kinds of life that is captured in the scripture. So it's not all the time that you see the word life in the scripture, whether it's in the old or the new, that it means the same thing. Very, very important. Very, very important that you know. There are two things now that I want to say. Number one, concerning this matter of differentiating between the kinds of life that can be captured in the word life in the scripture, what the word life in the scripture in several instances mean. If you go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter, is it not chapter 2? The scripture said that, and the Lord God breathed upon man and the breath of life, and he became alive. That life is that breath. Suke is best described in scriptural context as that breath of life. Say after me, the breath of life.
The breath of life.
That is what makes you alive as a human being, as a human being. Now, that life that man became alive in the book of Genesis chapter 2 is not the life that we speak about when we talk about the deeper life. The concept of life in scriptural basic New Testament discussion. Say after me, New Testament. Say after me, New Testament. Say after me, New Testament. So New Testament is New Covenant. It means that there are two covenants. Now, it is new. It is new because of a few things. Number one is because of the fact that, I don't want to say it's new. I'm just being careful. I don't want to say it's new because it came later, because there are several things about what we call the new covenant that is not actually new. You will notice that many things about the new covenant, in fact, the new covenant is founded upon faith. And when the writer of the book of Hebrews was referencing the matter, he said, the law that came 400 years after, you know, God encountered Abraham and told him that your children will go into captivity, and 400 years later, I'm going to bring them out. Now, the law that came 400 years after, of course, over 400 years after, the man that is writing in the book of Hebrews is trying to make an argument. He said, how can the law that came 400 years after now have more authority than faith that came 400 years before it? So he's trying to tell them that even though you are thinking that the laws of Moses is superior to the instructions of the new covenant, that I'm trying to tell you that the new covenant is not something that actually came later. So for the Jewish man, for the man that is not yet born again, that is being ruled by the power of sin, that person, his all of his understanding of the things of God is what we call old. And all of your relation until you cross over to what is powered by Christ, by his blood and by his sacrifice, we just call them old. Old in the sense that God doesn't want to use it anymore. Old in the sense that God doesn't want to. New in the sense that this is what God wants to use now. Not necessarily new in the sense that it came after. There are several things that God began to do now, began to use now, that is not necessarily new. But God, by his ordination, and for several, one or two other reasons, decided, for example, if you read the book of Ephesians chapter 1, the scripture said, even Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible was saying in the book of Ephesians. Now, if you go to Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible spoke about many things that God decided to do from the foundation of the world. That means there are things that happened after the foundation of the world. Then the manifestation of that thing that God decided to do from the foundation of the world came later, came after the other one. There are things that happen, and then after that, other things happen. And God is telling you that the one that happened later was actually his original plan. Are you now following me now? Just because he came later, it is within the human context of experience. That means we experience the old before we experience the new. And it is because of our experience of the two covenants that made us call it old and new. Not necessarily because, in an objective sense, that the first one is older than the second one. Because you can't say that. The author of the new covenant is actually the author of everything himself. And several things that is spoken about the new covenant was such that, hey God, several things that was spoken about the new covenant was spoken as if it has happened. Revelations. The lamb that was slain, when? Meanwhile, we thought it's 2,000 something years ago on the cross that it happened. Are you following me now? Many, many other things. The purpose that God has proposed in his heart before the foundation. Everything before the foundation. But when God began to put it to work, Mr. Caleb, Jesus' name. So the life that we received as human beings, that one that God breathed, is suche. That is not the one we are talking about. The plan of God is that after receiving suche, there is another tree in that garden. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
When man, God created man, man received suke. Suke is to bring you to existence. When we talk about life, we are not talking about existence. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Suke brings you to existence. Zoe brings you to experience. That is why somebody can live for 80 years on this earth. He doesn't really know God. Because you cannot know God outside of his life. And according to the book of John chapter 17, verse 3. Can you show us John 17, 3? Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, ready, go. Can we do it again together? Not all of us did it before now. 1, 2, ready, go.
And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
And this is life eternal, that they might what? Know. And this is life eternal, that they might what?
Know.
So is you can best say it like this, educate, that this is life eternal to know. To know who? To know God. Are you seeing it now? So why Suke brings you into human existence, it takes life from God to bring you into the experience of God. And I want to say it this way so that you will find out how serious it is. As far as God is concerned, you have not started living until you have his life. Have you ever witnessed, have you ever evangelized before? How many of you used to be an evangelist, used to preach to people to give their life to Christ? Especially village. My brother, are you an Igbo man? You like this? No, are you an Igbo man? You just go to Zoma before. So, those days, there is what we used to tell people when we go for evangelism. We tell them that there are people that are alive, but they are dead already. Is it not how we say it? That if a man is not born again, that he is alive, but he is what? Dead. But he is alive. That means that there are two kinds of life and there are two kinds of death. There are two kinds of life and there are what? Two kinds of death. Are you learning something already? The life you had when your father gave birth to you is different from the life you had when God gave birth to you. When your mother gave birth to you, that's the first kind of being given birth to. When you got born again, God gave birth to you. That is what we now call being born again. Are you getting what I'm saying? At being born again, what God did is that he gave you his own life. Are you seeing it? With your human life, you interact with natural things. With God life, what do you interact with? You are with me. With that eternal life. The reason why we added eternal, and the reason why eternal, listen, are you with me? If you are with me, so far say amen.
Amen.
When you hear the word eternal, it is not the most important thing in that sentence. The most important thing in that phrase, rather, is actually life. Not about eternal, but remember our song, eternal, eternal, oh, I want to live eternal.
Uh-huh. I want to live eternal
life. Eternal. Eternal.
Eternal.
What do you want to do?
I want to live eternal life. God save my soul.
Oh, my Savior.
When you want to connect your people, remember me, oh
Lord.
Remember me,
oh yeah, when you want to connect your
people,
remember me, oh Lord. We need to sing it one more time.
Eternal,
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 I want to live eternal,
God,
Akagi.
Eternal,
I want to live eternal life, God, save my soul. I want to live eternal life. Oh, my Savior. When you want to collect your people, remember me, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Very powerful song. But if God waits for that day when he wants to collect your people to confirm, you are finished. If we needed to wait for that day, it's over for you. Hey. Are you getting the point? The only reason why I allowed us to pass through this part is to show you that eternal is not as important. In that phrase, eternal is not necessarily as important as life. The main thing is life. Say after me, life.
Life.
The word eternal there is what does an adjective do again? You. So that word eternal is qualitative, is to qualify. Actually, according to the scripture, the eternal life can be either qualitative or quantitative. And anytime we speak about eternal life in this life, anytime in Revival Hub, we don't necessarily speak about quantitative. Unfortunately, the evangelical part of the Christian faith, which is the foundation of many of us here, emphasized more on the quantitative dimension of eternal life. And we didn't really know that that life is not something to be enjoyed later, but something that God gave us now as the only means through which we can get into dimensions of Him. You cannot experience God and God things outside of His life. You cannot even understand God outside of His life. You cannot comprehend God outside of His life. You cannot possess God outside of His life. You cannot interact with God outside of His life. You cannot experience Him outside of what? His life. You cannot comprehend Him. Hey! Do you know what it means to comprehend God? Show me John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was what?
Life.
Remember, it's life that is the main thing. But the life now, somehow, when He got into people, He became light. Next verse. Can we read verse 5 together? 1, 2, ready, go. Let's read it again. 1, 2, ready, go. Remember, it was life. But when He came to you, it became light. And anybody that is not part of light lacks the ability to comprehend that. Are you seeing it? It takes life to comprehend light. It takes life. You are just telling story. Have you argued with an unbeliever before? How many of you have you tried to argue with them? Yes. One of the signs that you are not born again or that you are out of touch with life is when you begin to argue spiritual things. When you start arguing spiritual things, arguing spiritual things, arguing spiritual. I heard that what is reigning in Nigeria now is that people are now arguing miracle. That one is certain. Did not even start today. It's actually in the Bible days. You know one of the strangest things? There is nothing that started new. The apostles met one guy that they said that the whole city thought it was the power of God. Meanwhile, he is using to manipulate people. For the fact that there is fake means that there is original. I don't know about you, but me, I've been personally healed by the power of God. Without somebody praying for me. Now, because the reason why many people doubt and do these things is because of a man of God, man of God. That's why we teach you in such a way that you yourself, this kind of thing, especially healing and all, is not special as people think. This one I'm teaching you now about deeper life is actually what is special. But if it is healing and all those things, healing that an unbeliever can receive, that means it's not that special. If it is special, God can't give it to an unbeliever. Those days on campus, so the people that did real campus, a man of God said that he came to a crusade and they sent a cultist to come and shoot him. The cultist, meanwhile, had a very, he had an accident and his hands is no more working. His shoulder is no more working. As he was ministering in a healing service, the guy is still holding his equipment. And he wants to wait for service to finish so that he can do his assignment. As service is going on, God's benevolence and love and whatever is the reason and basis for healing is beyond even your feeling and even his agenda. To the point that as the healing was going on, God went and left other people that are well behaved. In fact, to receive healing and some of the things that is a byproduct of the sacrificial atonement of Christ is not because of your good behavior. In fact, many people don't receive because they think it's about their good behavior. It is not. It is not. It is because of what Jesus did and not what you did. In fact, if ever they find you doing anything, that's a disqualification. The only thing that qualifies you is not doing anything. If you have been struggling to receive your healing and you have done all the things that you think, maybe you have prayed, checked the scripture and all that, nothing is working, that means you are, there is something you are doing you are not supposed to do. Your prayer now is, Lord, where am I walking that I should not walk? Because once you are walking, God cannot walk. Because Jesus has already walked in his salvation. Any other walk is trying to make the walk that Jesus walked to look like rubbish. So he removes his hand and says, oh, yeah, walk now. As the guy was doing, he got healed. That's how he dropped his gun and became a very mighty pastor till today. So that's God for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So all those are arranged and other. But meanwhile, that Nigeria is still existing today is what? How we take the shop for this Nigeria? How? Sometimes I will come outside and look at Nigerians and say, Kai, these people are strong. No matter what you do, they still maneuver and eat and survive and keep going on. It's a miracle. If it's in some countries, they will shut down, nothing will happen. Is a miracle. It is. And many other things. When you start doubting spiritual things like this, it is one of the greatest signs that life has started going away from you. So the Bible said, and the light shineth in darkness, and anything that is darkness lacks the ability to comprehend light. But remember, our focus was not on light. Our focus was what?
Life.
It was life that came into a people and became light. That means what people see is light. Light shines. Or rather, let me say, the scripture says light is that which makes what? Manifest. So light is in the region of manifestation. And because it's in the region of manifestation, that is what people can see, relate with. Are you seeing it now? Now, meanwhile, the relatable things that is as a result of the shining light are founded upon what? A life that is inside. So without that life, there will be no light. And without that light, there will be no manifestation. This is one of the greatest lessons Jesus taught when he was here. Sometimes they will come and tell him, good master, Kai, the way you are behaving, I like your behavior. You are a very good... Some of you, they have told you, you are well behaved. I like the way your lecturers, your work, you are so such a nice guy. You are well behaved, that your parents trained you well, that and all that. Bro, strike for me in 5 minutes. And all that, that they trained you well, that you are so well behaved. I like the way you are quiet. I like. Meanwhile, you know you are not quiet. They asked Jesus, he said, no man is good except God. What is he trying to say? He's trying to say, yeah, I'm not saying I'm not good, but the good in me is as a result of the God in me. Are you getting the point? It is the life in me that made me to shine. It is not as if I have an original light. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Take me back one scripture from where I came from. I wanted to show you two more things. Take me back. Remember, I was showing you people and telling you that there is a qualitative aspect of life. I will say eternal life. And there is a quantitative. And the quantitative is what we normally pray for in an evangel. You know that song we sang? I want to live eternal life. They are singing it as like, I want to, like I will, something they will do in the future. Are you getting the point? Meanwhile, it is here now. It is actually for now. One of the greatest gifts that God gave, in fact, that's the greatest gift for man, is actually time. And you see, if you do something in time, you can correct it in time. If you do it outside of time, there is no correction. Are you getting the point? That's why, you know, have you heard where they tell people that you need to be born again now, you need to change your ways now. The reason is because this only can only be done in time. Once you step out of time, it is not possible to do many things or to correct your ways. You are already set. The path that a man is set on in time is the one he will continue in if he cross over to eternity. So there is an eternity in the context of existence that is quantitative. Let me say it again. Woman of God. There is an eternity in the context of existence that is quantitative. In that context, there is eternal judgment. So there are people that is going to stay in judgment for whatever eternity means. Are you following me now? In that same way, there is also a longevity in eternity. But that's not what we are talking about. What we are talking about is the quality of living. Say after me, the quality of living. The quality of experience. Let me just follow me. The quality of living. The quality of experience that God himself has in himself. That he gave us through Jesus. Are you a billionaire, sister? Good. Have you seen some pictures or videos or when they talk about billionaires? Did you notice that there is a quality of life they live that is not necessarily the same thing with the one you live? Are you getting the point? I'm telling you, you are the only one saying that Nigeria is scattered, that nobody can live in Nigeria that I'm living. Did you notice something? Am I the only one that noticed it? Very, very rich people, they don't ever leave this Nigeria. You know why? It's easier to live in Nigeria as a very big man. If you go abroad and do nonsense, they take you off. They don't care how much you have. But if you are in Nigeria, once you have money, you are above the law. You are above anything that happens is still workable. As long as there is money. Your crime in this Nigeria is absence of money. What's your crime? That's the real crime in this nation. That's the real crime. It's true now. That's the real crime. Even your villagers know. Do you know, sometimes your villagers don't hate you. People don't hate you as much as you think. I'm telling you. They hate that you are poor. It's your poverty they hate. I'm not trying to promote all these things, but I'm trying to say that in this kind of environment, no matter how we say things are bad, there are people that is living a quality of life within the same environment. That is the invitation that Jesus is handing out to you. He advertised a quality of life by his cross. The scripture said in the book of John, that that life That life we are talking about is in him. In fact, the Bible said in the book of John chapter 10 verse 10, he said, I am come that thou might what? Have life. So I want to ask you a question. Chris Devono Small. I want to ask you a question. Why did Jesus come? I used to think it's for me to go to heaven. Just like many of you. And some people in this age think that Jesus came for them to have car. For them to have husband, have things. The reason why he came is for you to have life. That has been the original agenda, to have life. So God is willing to die and risk the possibilities of being left in Sheol. Do you know the cry that he cried? 3 times the scripture recorded the cry that Jesus cried in the underworld. One of the days I was teaching them some of the things that happened in the underworld. There was warfare there. And there was balancing of books there. They checked some things there. It was in the book of Psalms that a man cried through the voice of David and said, Thou will not allow my soul in hell, neither will you allow my flesh to see corruption. It was Peter that echoed the same cry in the book of Acts chapter 2. That was when we found out that the scripture was not talking about David, that it was talking about Jesus himself. Peter speaking, he said that thing cannot be David, because that his sepulchre, his tomb where they buried David, is still here with us. He pointed at it. He said, now David, being a prophet and seeing ahead, prophesied that his soul, he will not be left in hell. So the disciples raised a cry from that day. He said, even death could not hold him captive. The life we advertise for you is the life that conquered death. We didn't know that there is something that can conquer death. So we said, let's sample life, the life of God. Let's sample. Because before the time Jesus died, no man has resurrected. Death was the end until Jesus appeared. Are you with me? Death has always been the end of everything and any man until Jesus appeared. When Jesus appeared on the scene, we found out that death is the beginning. For we in Christ, we began to live when we die. When do you begin to live? When you die. That is when Jesus began to live. And all that we come after him, we begin to live after they have met the same structure, the cross. The apostles raised a cry. They said even death could not what? Hold him captive. That means that nobody can break away from the captivity of death. But on the day that Jesus went down, even hell could not hold him. Even death could not hold him. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, he said he raised a strong cry to him that is able to save him. The Bible said he was heard in that he cried. He feared rather. He feared. He was crying. His cry is not, I'm about to die. His cry, this death, don't allow it to touch me. I don't want to be touched by death. I don't want it. He began to pray. That was the prayer point at Gethsemane. Deliver me from death. Deliver me from death. Deliver me from corruption. Deliver me from death. Deliver me. That shows you Jesus' greatest prayer point. What Jesus was afraid of, the greatest thing he was afraid of is what? Death and corruption. Death, corruption. The day Paul appeared on the scene, he became his body. Having dealt with the matter of death, we found out that there is still corruption in our members. So Paul began to cry. Corruption in his members, in his heart, even his body is weary. He said, is there a way I can be alone with my garment that is in heaven? You know, when he was making that statement, he said that God is able to do it. That
the same person that wrought it in Christ by the same spirit with which, are you getting it, that he works in our members. So the authority, the legal basis upon which we stand and ask God to work is because Jesus has attained the same thing. If Jesus have not died and resurrected, who are you to talk about life? It means that the life of God went to hell and could not come back. But there is hope. Even if a tree is cut down at the center of life, it will come up. What water represents there is life. Go through the scripture. Water represents what? Life. At the center, there is nothing that is too lost for life. The greatest lost case we have ever seen, even Jesus was crying on the cross. He said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My Father, my Father." Say after me, "My Father, my Father. You sent me here and forgot me to die." The man didn't say anything. The pain here is much. You sent me here. "Why hast thou forgotten me?" Do you know who is saying this thing? Jesus is saying, "Eli, Eli." When he looked upon death, casting his shadow, coming to grab him, he cried, "Eli, don't allow death to have me." Darkness and wickedness upon earth and all the eyes of existence is because we allow death to have us. When death walks, it leaves behind it a desolate wilderness. Nothing will be useful after death has treaded a path. If death comes upon the scene, nothing can be left there. But there is something that God introduced. God said, "Let me try my own life." Are you getting the point? Watch. The suke came in contact with death, and death subdued it. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So Satan was rejoicing that all manner of life that came in contact with death bowed. They now did a meeting in heaven and said, "Let's try our own life." When they tried their own life, they said, "Let's send it." So when Jesus said, "Eli, Eli," and all that, they know the life that was there. When the life of God went to hell, the brilliance in its millimeters was so strong that all of hell bowed. Listen to me, let me tell you. Jesus conquered hell, conquered Satan, conquered sin, conquered all those things, all the demon, including Kelafa Alusi Obodon, Kelafa Nkon, Ihanibo, all those things, whatever they are called, and don't know we appeared there. He has backseat. Look at you. He did not even follow. There are deities more powerful now. There are more powerful deities. They are in front. Even those in front lie down. They couldn't raise their head. When he rose up, Revelation said, "Who is able to open these seals?" He said, "The Lamb has prevailed." He didn't say he was lucky. He warred. He said, "If you think you are the one, come." He took on all of them one after another, flooded all of them. Their life was burning. It was burning. It was burning. It was burning. Hell appeared, the light burnt it. Death appeared, they burnt it. Sickness appeared, the what? He burnt it. Life. That's what I came to introduce to you. The greatest challenge we have now is that there is a means through which that life. Remember, Jesus was here upon the face of the earth. He said, "I am the resurrection and life." Akachu. He has not died yet, but he said, "I am what?" That means as he's moving upon the face of the earth, he's carrying that life fully. Huh? Just as you are carrying the life. But there is a problem. How do we release the life?
Are you seeing it now? So Jesus was carrying everything in total. If he's my mother, in total, everything complete. But there is a challenge. Just because you are carrying something doesn't mean it can be released. It took the cross to release the life. That means the possession of the life is different from the release of the life. Are you with me now? It took the cross. It was when Jesus went to the cross that the life was released. Was walking with them on the streets of Galilee. They never knew who he was. The life was not released. The powers and possibilities of that life did not give in. They were struggling with prayer. They can't ascend. Have you ever ascended in prayer before? You ascended. It was life that took you up. Have you ever prayed before? Jesus, you prayed and prayed to some point and you enjoyed the prayer. How many of you here, you have enjoyed, beyond the fact that you prayed for something? Are you following me? Beyond the fact that you prayed for something, have you ever prayed before and you actually enjoyed the prayer? It is life. You are basking in life. And that is one of the greatest blessings that God has given us in this life, in this house, to bask in the life of God via the means of prayer. Sometimes you enter it and for 24 hours we are there. We don't want to stop. Prayer point has finished. God has done everything you are praying for, yet you still want to continue. That means there is something you are experiencing that cannot be captured in words. You don't want to live there. You want to tarry. Keep me here. It is an experience that you don't want to end. It's a journey that you don't want to cut short. You are being brought progressively into a plane that even words cannot capture. Something God himself enjoys. He knows you can enjoy it. Are you getting the point? Is that Nindo Garanya? Is it Nindo? Are you getting what I'm saying? When a big man that have seen life taste a food and tell you that this food is sweet, take it and eat, I think you should accept his opinion. When God gave you his life and said, enjoy, on Nindo, he is speaking from his standpoint. He said, I've seen this thing, I've enjoyed this life, take it, you will enjoy it. Are you now seeing it now? So I told the people that there are three levels of the revelation of eternal life. We can just shorten it to say eternal life, the possession, eternal life, the experience, and eternal life, the destination. So there are people that got born again and now they are now rejoicing. I have the life of God and they are rejoicing. That's not the whole point. The whole point of having the life is so you journey into the life. If you won't journey into the life, then why is the life there? It is better that you did not come into the boundaries of the life. It is through the life that God possesses you. When you get born again, you possess the life of God. But the plan of God is that by continued yieldedness to the protocol of life, God will possess you through that very life. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Maybe let me read two more scriptures then. I want you to write this thing down in case I forget. The three proofs that something is living in a divinely spiritual way. Three proofs that something is living in a divinely spiritual way. Let me try and explain what I mean. Many years ago,
I've been part of many prayer teams, many, over the years. While I was on campus, I was part of a prayer team. I can even say that I'm the leader, but I don't like saying that I'm the leader of a prayer team. In my own opinion, a prayer team doesn't have a leader. Anybody that is ahead that day is what? The leader. Have you not noticed that there are some days we come, somebody will be the leader. The person with the life is the leader. Anyway, there is a leader in the sense of administration. But in the sense of life, if you as the leader keep being full of life, you can keep leading. So we had a lot of people that were members of that prayer team. We were not so many anyway. A sister was part of that, our prayer team. So you need to understand this matter of prayer. You can master prayer by it. If you want to master prayer, one of the things you need to learn is that you have to give yourself to regimented sessions. You know what is regimented session? Like in the night, I will pray for 30 minutes. In the morning, I will pray for 30 minutes. In the afternoon, I will pray for 30 minutes. In the evening, I will pray for 30 minutes. That will make it 2 hours total. Am I correct? That is regimented. So it will mean that whether you feel like praying or you don't feel like praying, when is that time of prayer? You what? So this is a good thing that is a bad thing. Let me tell you why. If it is not because you are properly taught here, especially in an organic way, you can engage your night vigil for 21 days and God never came. You were never marked present according to the purposes of God that is working in your life. You will never mark present. So I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you the proof that the spiritual engagement that we are involved in has the life of God. That's the subtopic I gave you. Are you seeing it now? When I fast, how do I know that there is life in it? When I pray, how do I know? What are the proofs that there is life in it? When I lead worship, when I'm worshiping, are you getting the point? When I'm teaching, how do I know? When I hear a teaching, how do I judge whether there is life in it? I hope you know that somebody can be ministry. The day I found this out, I was shocked. Many years ago, I found out that it's not all the time that people fell on the ground that God was actually involved. If I say this, you'll be shocked. Sometimes people fell on the ground. It was death that was walking. It's as bad as that. There is somebody that went out to move in power, trying to prove point to another pastor. What is working that time? You are now following me. And there are cases that is worse than that. Is the protocol. The principle. You remember the principle of life and death I introduced to you yesterday? Is principle. Maybe nothing happened immediate, manifested, but over time. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is the principle of death that is engaged. How do I know that my prayer life have started dying? How do I know that God has deserted me? When life is absent. How do I know? How do I check whether there is life? Is it when I feel intoxicated? How do we know that your prayer has life? How do we know that your smile has life? How do we know that your rebuke has life? I hope you know that sometimes... I hope you know you can rebuke somebody. It will be full of life. The person will change. In other instances where you should rebuke the person or show the person displeasure and you refuse, you did not communicate life. That means it's not all the time God is smiling. No. Sometimes he's not smiling. How do we know?
Are you getting the point? Sometimes you rebuke people, they are edified. If you take it up as a pattern, you will one day rebuke people in the flesh and you will cast them down. Or if you are a pastor, your members will leave. I've been warning some young men sometimes. Tell them, don't rebuke people the way I rebuke sometimes. I have two things backing me up. Number one, life. Number two, discernment. There are sometimes, if you will do something expecting me to do anything or say, I will not say anything. I will just ignore you. You will be feeling, you even want me to rebuke you. I will not say anything. It's a brother that wanted me to rebuke him. I bought food for him. Got food for him. Got drink for him. Told him to sit down. We are just gisting about other things. I did not talk about that. But if he wants to leave, I say, don't leave. Sit here. Don't go. But we will not talk about that matter. You say what? It's not what? It's not rebuke. I'm happy. In fact, in some cases, it's not just to rebuke the person. Sometimes you do something, you are afraid, you are ashamed. I'll come and tell you, my friend, leave that thing. It's not anything. People have lost hundreds of thousands running to millions to me. I did not even confront the matter at all. Then people have lied to me. I fought it till the end. You are not with me. Somebody lost almost millions. I did not say anything. Then the person lied. I pursued the matter. The person. Now lie. I know key person. I said, I must see the end of this lie. The person is wondering, why did I take it this serious? Why am I and all that? He's a brother. You know him. He's a brother. I'm sure you know him. You have pastored him. If we do other things, we'll forget it. Once a liar, I will pursue him to his village. Pursue him everywhere. He will just give up and say, Daddy, I confess, I am wrong. I should have said it in the beginning. I was lying. Say, now we can start. I want you to accept that you are lying. In my own opinion, that is my own opinion. You might not, you don't take it from me. One of the greatest sins for me is lie. I believe if you can lie, you can kill. In brotherhood, if you can have trust among brothers, one of the things that must be consistent is a word of your mouth. If you say yes, let it be what? Yes. It's better that you are angry than that you lie, in my own opinion. As long as your anger doesn't hurt something, as long as it's short according to scripture. But if you lie, we don't know where you are. We can't trust you. Turn our back, you stab us and kill us. If you heard me so far, say amen. There is a day that you laugh and you notice that the Holy Ghost left you. Is it not true? There is a day you laughed, you notice as if more joy came up. So we, how do you know? You need to know. Are you getting the point? So that you know when to laugh and when not to. As a music minister, you need to learn when to outgrow some kind of songs. If I check your phone now and see some songs, it's a proof that life, both you and life, has forsaken each other for long. Number one. When it is full of witness. Number two. When it is full of judgment. Number three. When it is full of substance or reality. Now, don't worry, I will come again. Number one is what? Now, by witness, let me give you one or two examples of what I mean by witness. By witness,
we have things like revelations, unction, knowings. These are witnesses. I believe if you have followed me long enough, I don't need to explain this so much. Am I correct? The need to explain myself so much on this might be because if you have listened to me, I have used these words several. Witness simply means that God authenticated it. That God what? Authenticated. Witness. The witness ministry of the kingdom of God is the only authenticating facility that we have. If we want to say that this is true, genuine, that this is truth, that this is the main thing, this. If we want to, there can be two things. You follow? Look at what I'm saying. This person we worship, this person we worship. You know, Cain and Abel. What is the problem between their sacrifice? You know, that time when we were younger, but when I was younger in children's Sunday school class, they taught us that the problem with Cain's sacrifice was that you weren't evil. Where? Yeah, you are welcome. You came to this place. Wow! Come and shake my hands. This my brother came all the way from Liberia to this place. You are welcome. Oh, and I said, move beyond it. I'd not say we can't go there, but I mean, what's that? Yes. When we were in children's Sunday school, they said that the problem with Cain's sacrifice, I don't know whether they taught it in Yoruba churches, that weevils ate the yam. Is it the same thing they taught you? What did they say happened to his sacrifice? In your own place now. When did you get born again? 2018. But you were a Christian. Oh, it's true. It's Yaka. Where is the pastor's child? Where is Timilei? Similarly, your father is a pastor now. What did they say happened to that yam? Spoilt yam. What spoilt it?
Kokoro.
What is kokoro? So, what is kokoro? Who can help me now? Oga Atayo, what's kokoro? Our own is actually weevil. That in Abraham Ataji, they said that the problem is that there is an insect that ate the yam, and that's why God did not accept it. Show me your Bible. Show me where it is in your Bible. Are you getting what I'm saying? There must be a reason why you brought two sacrifices. There is no traceable reason in the natural why we reject any of them. But God rejected one and stood on it and even judged the other person. It took us experiences in the new covenant by the Holy Ghost to understand what I'm teaching you now. If you don't understand the ministry of witness, you will not know why God chooses between two things. In fact, you will look at them and say, God is unfair. That if I'm God, that this one has suffered now. Let me leave you. I think if I push this thing more. Have you seen two people? Two people. One can fast for 2 days. One will fast 6 to 12. And God will answer 6 to 12. There must be a reason. Don't come and say, it is possible you fast 6 to 6. And there is no witness in your fasting. For whatever reason. There is absence of witness. Can be because of your motive. Can be whatever. There can be many reasons. Sometimes, equado fasting.
Bro, no be so. For somebody we labor in vain. Sometimes it's not fasting that pains. It's fasting without food to close it well. I'm telling you, a big man's fasting and a poor man's fasting is not the same. Yeah, I can tell you. Yeah. Take it from me. I've done this thing for years. Take it from me. I've seen the high and the low. I've broken with garri and sugar, and I've broken with nothing. A brother was pitying me many years ago. He said, "Pastor, you have finished fasting and you did not even, you said it's 3 days. You have continued to the 4th day. It's not as if you want to continue. It's just that there is nothing to break. We just continue the fasting. On the 4th day, if we don't see anything to break, we make it 5. On the 5th, if we don't see anything to do, we make it what? 6. Until we see something to break. Ejigari break fast. If it's when we are Isoto, only a break fast, it doesn't work. But if it's big men, they will be fasting. It will, if the day God bless you, you will be fasting, it won't be showing in your body. I'm telling you. You even be fasting more than you used to fast, it won't show. You know why it won't show? One plate of balanced diet. Kapuaya! One plate of well-garnished meal prepared by the hand of a lovely wife. Speak in tongues. Skabuka. It will not allow your body to know you are fasting. A man told my father many years ago when I was small, that time I've not gotten serious with fasting, I didn't hear the thing. Told my father that it's not fasting that is the problem, it's breaking well. That for him, he breaks well. Breaks with a lot of fruits. Those days, they tell me, if you are fasting, take fruits. I thought it was a good cancer. Let me tell you why. How come then when they go fast, the fruits they break? It is cheaper to eat food than to even do fruit fast. Real fruit fast is for big men. No? Go and ask them. Banana, 12, this thing. Huh? It's 2,000. No? If it's the one that, in case of it's 2,000 plus. If you get that kind of money, you know how many plates it will multiply for you? Are you getting the point? Meanwhile, if he's big man, that's they use that one, use apple, use, you know that kind of food you used to post on your WhatsApp now? Something as simple as the way you broke your fast can make life escape from your sacrifice. So 2 sacrifices. Nothing physically wrong with either of them. But God rejected one and accepted the other. That means there must be a means of testing which sacrifice is true. Is it not true? Since there is no physical means, there must be a way to differentiate between the 2 things. 2 people are praying. One is working more than the other. There is a reason why one is working more. There is a reason. Now, witness is the only way for us to authenticate the difference in things. So when God comes and he witnesses, there are 2 things. If he witnesses to this, we will now know that this is the one that is correct. Are you with me now? In the old covenant, a group of people came and they doubted the authority of the priestly ministry of Aaron. Did you remember? They said, let's settle the matter. That there is no need, that no human being can settle this matter. Is it not true, my sister?
They said, bring your rods. Everybody brought their rods. They took it to the inside the glory and presence of God and dropped it there. Let the one that is true board. That burden is what is called witness. The burden is life. Is it not life? That burden is the witness. The one that has the life of God is the one that the witness of God is upon. Are you seeing it now? So the way to prove that there is life is when there is witness in a thing. And I told you people that one sign of witness is revelation. If you come and engage something and God begins to show you more insight and revelation and understanding concerning that thing, that is one of the ways to know that you have touched life that day. Have you read your Bible before? You read 5 chapters and it seems as if you are wasting your time. Am I the only one it has happened to? One day I was reading, my head blocked. A brother sent me a message, Jesus. I think day before yesterday. We are still in bed bank, so he sent me a message. He said, Papa, my head has blocked. He said, hey, I thought he was about to die. He said, he blocked. He's no more understanding anything we are saying. It happens. Sometimes you'll be studying Bible, study. You read this, your Bible, read 1 to 3 verses, come back. Read it again, come back. Read 5, become confused. Roaming around, after 2 hours, you find out that you went back to the beginning. You now forced yourself and finished it so that they will not say you are lazy. How many of you, it has happened to you? Outside of that revelation, understanding, and insight, you can surely say that life was not made available that day. Are you following me now? So that is what I mean, witness. The witness that God was in what you were doing is that revelation came. Revelation came. Knowings came. Unction. Remember I said witness. Revelation is a kind of witness. Knowing is a kind of witness. God will witness in your heart by a knowing. God can witness by a revelation. But the one that we are more conversant with is unction. What is unction? Unction is, for example, if God is the one that is here now, you say, Lord, there is a sister here that you want to improve her capacity to handle your presence. Are you seeing it now? Many times when you say it, if it is true, the person will experience the same thing. That is an unction that is at work. Is it not true? It's an unction. An unction can be a miraculous power, but it's not just that. If you are a teacher and a preacher, one of the signs that God sent you to teach a thing is that you will receive the unction to actually teach and preach. There is an unction to teach and preach. I hope you know. There is an unction. Is a witness, is the witness. So I said that the first sign that something is living in a divinely spiritual way is what? When it is what? Number 2 is what? What is judgment? Judgment, like I now magibe and then I judged you. That's not what we mean by judgment. Huh? Who is a lawyer here? Where is Chiemelia? Bar. Is this the way you dress to court? Why? Get a mic for her. Why won't you dress this way to court? Let's hear from her. Is this the way you dress to court? Put the mic on your mouth. Put the mic. Huh? Give him the mic. Who is that guy? Yes?
No, that.
Why won't you dress like this? Are you not feeling nice? Are you not feeling free and okay and all that? Why won't you dress like this to court?
It's not part of what we are required to. And I will be sanctioned.
What? Huh? The main thing is not just that it's not part of it. It might not be part of, but I just choose. My body, my life. Say after me, my body,
my life,
whatever I want, I do with my body. You don't know anything. You don't know to mind. Once you see believers saying that, as for me, my own Christianity, I don't, all these things they are saying doesn't make sense. To chain people is to hold people down. That is my own Christianity. And not, you have not appeared in any court. As it is physically, is even worse spiritually. There are doors that shut to you spiritually because you are not well clothed. I'm not the one saying it. Should I prove it? Show me that scripture. A man called a feast and invited many people to come to that feast. Show me. You know that scripture now? Invited many people. He was invited. He came in freely. He was at Luke 14. He was told to come freely. He entered freely. But you can't wear anything. Are you getting the point? He said, my body, my life. My body, my choice. My body, my life. It's not true. Do you want to appear in courts? Do you want to be useful? Do you want to go deeper? Do you want to be relevant with God beyond the mundane level? Then you must pay attention to your garment. And I'm not talking just about physical garment. I'm talking about the garments that you wear in the spirit. Garments of purity, of holiness, of meekness, of love, all kinds of garments of faith in the spirit. You must pay attention to it. Because in my body, you can't appear. In fact, in that place, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on what? He's wearing something, but the problem is that we are doing wedding, you want another garment. Let's see the next verse. And he said unto him, friend, he even called him friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? What did he answer? There are many people that have sent me dreams and visions where they saw themselves naked, and when they saw themselves, they were ashamed and speechless. You are like this. Next verse. Then said the king to the servants, bind him. What did he do now? Are you following me, my sister? You didn't wear clothes. Highest thing you do to me is to send me away. Is it not true? What do you mean by bind me again? What do you mean? Just tell me to go. Why are you binding me? That's what happens in the spirit. When you appear in place without properly being clothed, you will be bound from attending that place. Sometimes for 2 years, 3 years. I'm telling you. If you don't know what I'm saying, you are probably a babe and you have not touched spiritual things. Even in ministry, there are judgments of anointings. An anointing has a judgment. A calling has a judgment. For John the Baptist, there is a kind of life that he needs to live. He cannot be doing what every other man of God is doing. You come and say, why is God doing? No, your calling demands that kind of judgment. Are you seeing it? For Samson, they told him, don't touch your hair. Don't touch your hair. That's what? The judgment of his anointing. And because it's the judgment of his anointing, he did many things. He didn't touch the anointing. My father told me this thing when he was alive. He told me as long as he doesn't do 3 things, that nothing will happen to his anointing. He did many bad things. It didn't happen. Nothing happened. Something. But as soon as he touched the hair, the thing left. It took years before the hair grew back. That's exactly what happens to many men of God. They touched power, touched presence. God used them heavily. They violated the judgment of their calling and anointing. Are you seeing it? The thing left. Some of them did not bother to search it out. Some were sober and repentant, but they searched for it for some years before it came back again. Some of them, when he came back, he was not as strong as he used to be. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Have you not prayed before? You were enjoying God's presence, enjoying God's presence. You now did something, the thing stopped. And it didn't come again. It's not as if God is no more answering your prayer or something. But you know where the Holy Ghost just hugged you and two of you stayed there. You don't want to go. Just,
you have not experienced it in the last 3 years, you violated the judgment of your anointing and of your coming. You wore an improper garment and appeared. They banished you for years. I don't know how long. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, bind him for doing what? For not properly dressed. Not doing anything. Just that he's not properly dressed. Bind him hand and foot. It's not only hand. Bind him what? Hand and foot. And what? Take him away. And cast his head. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him away. Into what? Outer darkness. That's another story. This place of outer darkness is a place of dryness. One of these days we investigate it. Have you noticed that there is a season in your life that you experience dryness in your prayer life? Huh? They sent you. You experience more outer place of darkness. Dryness. It's not as if you are no more born again or something. But as I was telling you people that time, one of the sisters, she went back and prayed for 7 hours by her own strength and discipline. She came back and told me, said, Pastor Edu, I prayed for 7 hours, but I didn't feel God. I prayed for 7 hours, but I felt depressed. I prayed for 7 hours, but I felt like leaving the corner. I prayed for 7 hours, but I became more confused. What is happening? But I've prayed. Normally, when I pray like this, everything changes. Why does it look like if God is very far away from me and he doesn't want to come? Are you getting what I'm saying now? The judgments have been violated. And the witness of God has departed. One judgment that, if you are with me so far, say amen. One judgment is discernment. Another one is righteousness. Not just righteousness as a nature. Judgment. Discernment. You can appear in a situation and you notice that one of the proof that life is there is that you began to discern. I'm supposed to behave like this. I'm supposed to behave like this. I'm supposed to speak like this. Nobody taught you before that time. You just designed it. That's a proof that you are alive. That's a proof that you are full of life. Are you following what I'm saying now? Are you with me? If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Finally, dear. When it is full of substance or reality, I think that is the most common one. When there is no reality in something, it's like emptiness. What's the opposite of reality? Vanity. It is because of the purpose of experiencing reality that God set eternity in our hands, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. The Bible said that God has set eternity in our heart. That means the only thing that can satisfy eternity is reality. I'm telling you. Let me give you an example. Let's assume God calls you now and say, go to the village, and calls another person and say, go to which foreign country do you like?
Thailand.
Why do you like China? What happened to UK and US? You're a businessman, Jesus. Which foreign country do you like? England. That's UK now. London specifically, am I correct? Do you know you can go to London and actually succeed according to human, make all the money, but you'll be very unsatisfied? In fact, one day in your life you wake up and you want to commit suicide. Another person went to the village to answer his calling, or went to the village and he just didn't
There are people in this Newe, they have not left Newe. They are living a better life than people that is in abroad. You just got abroad. Okay, no wonder. The way you are answering me, you have experience. There are people that is abroad. It's not all abroad that is abroad. I'm telling you. Where is Powerful Holy Ghost channel? Powerful Holy Ghost, come here. One day, I was coming back. I forgot the nation I went to go and minister. But whichever nation it is, I'm coming, I'll get to you. Whichever nation it is, it took us 2 flights. So we first landed in Ethiopia. Either Ethiopia or Kenya. I'm forgetting where we landed before we now came to Nigeria. When we came to that nation, my brother, if you see the number of Nigerians in that airport, I now started asking questions. I'm forgetting one Asian country, one Arab country, deported many Nigerians. I don't know the place. Many of them were wearing slippers, bedroom slippers. I'm telling you, some of them have not taken their bath, they have not combed their hair, they are looking tattered. They said they packed some of them out of prison and put them in that thing and was bringing them back. Say you are going abroad. There are people in this town, they have not gone abroad, but they ate ofaku today. Woko kujuro ibu daya. I'm telling you, you are living a better life. I'm talking from a natural point of view. How much more spiritual? A man can do ministry in the village the way I'm doing my own ministry in my village, and is more fulfilled in the context of reality than somebody that is in the UK that is doing ministry and flourished in numbers or even money, yet there is no satisfaction that is inside. Are you getting what I'm saying? It takes reality to satisfy. I want you to pray for 1 minute and ask God, whatever it takes, keep me in the place where I will keep experiencing your life. That is what is the most important thing. It is through the life that God ministers his reality. It's through his life that he wastes away the powers of darkness. If the life of God stays around you long enough, every darkness will disappear. Every work of darkness, every power of witchcraft will bow. If life is generated, when we give ourselves to priesthood, it is that peradventure we will, by that New Testament calling and ministry, generate life enough for God to power his projects in our life, to disconflict the activities of the enemy, to bring down demonic hegemony, to bring down the powers that has lasted in our life and in our territories for long. The more we pray, the more we generate life, the more Satan goes down in our territory, the more Satan goes down in Nigeria. More life, not more church activity. What we need is more life in our activities, not more activities, not more programs, not just conferences, but more life in our conferences, more life in our activities, more life in our teachings, more life in our ministry, more life in our living, more life in our worship, more life in our prayer, more life. Ask God for more life, more life. Jasper, it's time to gather life, gather life, gather life. Say after me, Lord, I gather life, I gather life. The journey is great, I gather life, I gather life. Some of you, we get to travel. Some of you, you get to stay around. Some of you, you get to be sent on the mission field. You only survive by the life that you have gathered. I gather life at the altar, I gather life. The altar is a place of life transactions. I gather life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Anything you see in God means more. Don't ever stop. Stop means death in the spirit. Pause means death. Because the spirit of life is a moving spirit. He's no more where he was yesterday. He has moved. If you camp, even the things that used to be good will become evil. Not because you did anything wrong, but because you camped. Next week, we continue in our bed pangs.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edubu Dejiku, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edubu Dejiku. God bless you.